are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed. So condescension can have a very detrimental impact on both personal and professional relationships. So condescending behavior can create tension, foster resentment, and undermine effective communication and collaboration. And these are some of the ways, you know, that condescension can strain these types of relationships. And my pastor is already joining us so that, you know, we can look at some of those examples on what that can lead to, you know, some relationships we ended up people separating for good, you know. So we are speaking about all of those things. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, thank you, and how are you?
I am good, Mfundisi. I hope that side it's not as cold as here in South Africa.
No. Here it's hot.
I'm coming.
Come and enjoy the sun.
I'm relocating, you know, because, wow, I can't. Before we get into it, my pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right, we pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this blessed morning. May you please be with us and allow our hearts to be receptive even to the word which is going to be shared today. In my name of Jesus Christ that we pray, thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Pastor, in what way can condescending or condescension lead to communication breakdown in a relationship?
First and foremost, well, we need to understand what communication is. Communication is imparting or exchanging of information by through speaking, even maybe writing and using other mediums. So communication can become a challenge when you understand that you are in a situation which is affected by superiority complex or condescension. So it's something that is almost universally hated. Being condescended to, when somebody talks to you as though you are stupid, or it makes you feel angry or frustrated, and whatever it is they are trying to say can get lost in the hostility you feel as a result of being patronized. So now, however deep the fact that we all hate it, we still fall in the trap of subjecting other people in the same situation of being condescended to. So now, here's the thing. Immediately you understand that another person looks down upon you or belittles you. At the end of the day, you will not even go to such kind of a person to go and share or pour out your all. When a person speaks or acts in a demeaning way towards the other, it can erode the sense of self-esteem and self-worth. They may begin to doubt their abilities, feel insecure, and withdraw from the relationship. So now, that aspect of withdrawal is the one which leads also to communication breakdown. Because if I withdraw from you, it means that I'm not safe. I don't have a safe place with you. So over time, it can lead to resentment, detachment, and even end the relationship. So condescension is therefore not just a minor annoyance, but a serious threat to the health of a relationship.
And with that threat, Pastor, that does it then now lead to the erosion of trust?
Yeah, it does lead to the erosion of trust because you know, trusting a person, it is having a firm belief in the ability of somebody. So now, immediately communication has been broken down, it leads to erosion of trust. Now, in leading to erosion of trust, you'd understand that intersection of trust is the heart of all relationship. So, condescension in a relationship occurs when one partner acts in a manner that implies that they believe to, they believe themselves to be more superior than the other. So this behavior manifests through belittling comments, patronizing tones, and the dismissal of the other person's thoughts, feelings, or accomplishment. Now, in doing that, more than just an occasional annoyance, this act leads into eroded trust, and mutual respect therefore is broken down. And these two trust and mutual respect are the ones which are very fundamental in a health relationship. So now, erosion of trust is necessitated by the fact that this other person feels belittled and feels that they cannot have a firm belief in this other person. Yeah, so that is the trajectory which is there.
So yeah. with this relationship, Pastor, when we're looking at how, you know, condescending can lead to communication breakdown and erosion of trust before we go to the other ones, does this only lead to I wanted to say to husband and wife or people who are dating, or it also applies to niece and nephew, mother and son, and stuff like that?
You know, it relationship is the common denominator. Yes, relationship is a common denominator which we're talking about here. So now, regardless of whichever relationship you are in, it can be affected by the same. Yes, communication breakdown, erosion of trust, and everything. So regardless of the relationship which you share between brother, sister, mother, father, even when you're dating and everything. So the fact that there's the aspect of condensation in that relationship, it can lead to the same thing.
Okay. So does it also create an environment which is hostile? That is hostile, be it in whatever relationship that it happens in.
When a person belittles you, yes, it does. Yes, it does. It does create an environment which is hostile. So when a person belittles you, it means that they don't respect your self-worth. Yes. So now, in creating hostility, you create barriers of opposition. You see, so you create opposition. That is in simpler terms. You create opposition, and then the environment becomes unfriendly. So in creating an environment which becomes unfriendly, you are unable to interact with the person in a proper way. You see, so now every time you are talking, somebody comes and interrupts you. You see, so when somebody interrupts you, it means that they are seemingly to be portraying themselves to be of higher value than you. And sometimes when you have a bereavement or a certain such situation has happened to you, you are trying to explain to them, and then somebody comes to you and tells you, Zanile, I know what you're going through. You see? So that part also creates a part where it is hostile in such a way that they are not allowing you to pour out yourself. They are not allowing you to say what is really affecting you. Let's take for an example. For example, somebody has lost a wife. And then another person comes. A friend comes to mourn to the funeral house with his wife. And then he goes to the friend and then tells the friend, I understand the pain you are going through. That is like mockery. You see? So you're mocking this person. You have just entered in the funeral house with your wife. And then your friend has lost the wife, and then you go to them. You try to comfort them, to console them. No, I understand the pain you're going through. So somebody is not understanding the situation you're in. They're belittling your experience. So in doing that now, what happens is that you create a hostile environment where somebody will be able to label you as a know-it-all person. You see? And the other aspect is when you are in a workplace, a work environment. Yes. And then another person comes and calls you sweetie. Sweetheart and everything. In a work environment. Other people, it will create hostility because there are other people who are sweethearts, there are other people who are bosses or you are referring to a person who's a general worker as boss. You are the manager of that institution, and then you're referring to a general worker as boss. Others will be able to take it as you are demeaning them. You think you are giving them respect and everything, but that is a sign of mockery or a sign of belittling them in an indirect way. So people need to understand that there is need for them to be aware of the environment in which they are in and the kind of words which they can use, even in the workplace, so that they don't create a hostile environment for these other people to blossom.
Indeed, Pastor. Some people, they do love to be called sweetie, you know, in the workplace.
That's a professional environment.
They like it, Pastor. You know, and some people, they have work husbands and work wives and everything.
Wow.
Hey, Pastor, the things that happen here. So, and as we were speaking about that, you know, saying that, for example, when such things happen to a general worker or someone who is lower in you in terms of their position at work, and then it can lead to some reduced morale. Does the same apply for a lovey-dovey relationship?
Yeah, it does. It does. It does really affect even the lovey-dovey relationship, where you are able to reduce the morale of another person because when you're used to being called a certain name and then they don't call it, they don't refer you to that. So now you start thinking, why have I been misplaced? Why haven't I been maintained on that position? You see? Yes. So that is the thing which is there. So all this thing, you know, in terms of reduced morale, there's an aspect where it's hard to do your best when someone is busy putting you in your place and indicating often without words that you are somehow lacking. So when you find maybe a change of name in terms of the lovey-dovey issues and everything, you start now thinking, am I lacking? That's the reason why I've been referred to this. You see? So now, to most people, most people feel inadequate and pressurized or pressured. They often shrink or withdraw to protect themselves. So in shrinking and withdrawing from a certain environment, it leads to reduced morale. Yes. So now you start now looking down upon yourself, start thinking now, introspecting hard. Yes, sometimes it can even lead to others even going to trying to find some external knowledge from somewhere which can explain the situation they are in, what has gone wrong. You see? But they are forgetting that it is because of this aspect of condensation which has crept into our lives and into these work spaces, which leads to such kind of things.
Indeed. Pastor, we've come to the end of today's discussion. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that we may, if some relationships are experiencing this, you know, so that they may work on it and pray for it. But then if not, we pray that it never happens in those in the relationships, because it can be something that is painful and it wouldn't be nice, you know, to see people go through what we have just discussed now. So if we can pray that, so that God helps us.
All right. We are praying. Father in heaven, after being exposed even to the dangers of condensation, Heavenly Father, in relationships, we pray, Heavenly Father, may you please allow He, the Holy Spirit, to protect us from such kind of a vice, Heavenly Father, which is there to break even the relationship between you and us, Heavenly Father, because of other people talking down on us, Heavenly Father. We pray if that there is any relationship, Heavenly Father, be it a marriage or just mere dating, Heavenly Father, whichever kind of relationship, if at all it is being affected by this vice, Heavenly Father, we pray that you, who's a healer, you who's a great physician, Heavenly Father, you who's the multidisciplinary Heavenly Father, the one who goes beyond each and every principle, Heavenly Father, that is there.
Mm.
We pray that may you please come in your fullness in our lives so that you can break down even the chains of condensation in our relationships, Heavenly Father, thereby setting us free. Just want to thank you, Heavenly Father, even for answering our prayer this morning. It's the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much for coming through and teaching us about those things. We are going to be continuing the conversation tomorrow. For today, have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you. Have a blessed day too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.